Welcome. You have Jonathan and Rebecca here to talk with you about failure. What a wonderful topic. Isn't that an exciting topic for today? I had coffee because I was crashing and I knew that I was going to need just that extra boost, you know, before we have this conversation. So we're excited about it. I feel like we should start in prayer. That's what I'm feeling right now. So let's do that. God, we just thank you for this time. We thank you that we can come before you and bring you our mess, our failures, our disappointments, and our discouragement. And you are bigger than all of it, Father. I thank you that you are a redeeming God. I thank you that you can use us in our weakness, that you don't call us to perfection, that you call us to come as we are, and that you delight in using us. Even in our weakness, God, we are glorified and you are made strong. So I just speak against shame and guilt in this life, that anybody who's watching the replay, anybody who is here right now, just right now, I just rebuke shame and guilt and speak peace over us. We are a new creation. There's so much mercy and grace that you have for us, Father. And so we just come before you and we are excited to see what you have to say to us today. We ask for new perspective, new vision, and just eyes to see the way you see. In your name, amen. Here is a worldly thing that you will hear, maybe not worldly, actually, I hear this a lot, and it is that you are enough, just as you are. Now, when we're talking about salvation, is there anything that we have to bring or do to earn? No, God takes us as we are. But I feel like that can be damaging because the reality is that we fail, we make mistakes, we aren't enough. You know, when we think of, you know, with our kids or as a homeschool parent or in our marriage, and we think, well, we should just be able to do this all on our own. No, actually, we shouldn't be able to do this all on our own. The whole point is that reliance on God, that we need him, and that on our own, we're not enough. I'm merely human. I sometimes make mistakes and I sometimes say the wrong thing. And sometimes I get emotional or I get frustrated or I get angry or I get impatient. Those are human traits. Now, we want to do our very best. We want to walk in righteousness. We want to honor God. We want to do our best with our children in our homeschools and our marriages and our families and our relationships and our churches and our ministries, but we're not enough. We're going to make mistakes. And I feel like there almost has to be this preface before we start even talking about this, that this is a part of humanity and that you're going to make mistakes. And first and foremost, we almost have to set that foundation.
Yes, I agree. Mistakes will happen and hopefully you can mitigate the fallout. But I remember, what examples do you have?
Oh my gosh. Personal examples. My kids. Yeah. Personal examples. For my life, when I most feel like a failure, specifically talking about homeschooling and parenting as a mom or as a homeschool mom, those things are just kind of one. Anytime my kids have a struggle or a weakness, I take that very personally. And I feel like I have failed my kids because they're struggling to read, because they're struggling to write, because they don't have friends or aren't getting enough. I take it personally and I feel like that's my own failure. Then I fixate on it and I try to fix it. Like, this is what I do. So if my kids are struggling to connect, if my kids are struggling with something, then I go into fix it mode. I'm researching and I'm trying to find solutions because ultimately I feel like somewhere along the way I dropped the ball. And so then I'm trying to figure out how I can fix the problem and make it better. That's just one example. I feel like a failure a lot.
I feel like my failure as a parent, as a father, is when I lose it. You know, the passage in the Bible that says, don't give full vent to your anger. Just release the hounds. You could have pulled it back a bit, but it feels so good sometimes, you know, when you just let her out, but don't. It's like, oh yeah, then you're out of control. And that to me is a fail and could have done the whole teaching and discipline thing without the yelling and screaming.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Being honest.
So I guess the bigger question is identifying those. And I know that some of you are sharing in the comments specifically with homeschooling or with your kids feeling like they're behind or struggling in some area, I think the question is, what do you do with that? Okay, you're feeling like a failure. What do you do with that? How helpful is it? How helpful is it for us to just stay in this place of failure? I just saw an image today of, it was like an old, I forget it's called something, but in World War I, I'm really bad, but they dug these holes that actually went under the ground more this way. Okay. So they went under the ground more this way.
Oh, trenches?
Yeah. But they were like these holes like this, and then this little opening like this, and they would stand out and they would shoot from it, but they would go in here. So the angle of the bullet couldn't come in.
Probably World War I.
I feel like we can dig these little holes for ourselves and just settle on in to that feeling of failure that actually is not, it can be an instigator, something that pushes us forward. It can be something that is beneficial. And I would say that's the difference between guilt and conviction, right? Guilt is something that settles on you. It's a weight, a burden, something that presses you down and you feel low and discouraged. Conviction is like this thing behind you that is pushing you forward. There is victory on the other side. You need to be somewhere else, but those are different feelings. One is pressing you down and one is pushing you forward. And I feel like failure can be both. It can have both of those responses. The question is, what kind of response are you having right now? Are you wallowing in it? Or is it something that is activating you toward change? Because that's the first question that I would ask. Thoughts?
I know there's a lot of people going out that they feel that they failed them. And at what point do you cross over when you know you have a path just before you blow out or just before you make an error in judgment of what you say and what you do? There comes a point when you could choose this way. This way seems, again, this one feels better because it's the selfish way. It's the way that you probably know you're going to have to apologize, but you justify it. It's almost like there's that Holy Spirit. You have a choice. Some people don't take responsibility for their own actions. I had to do this. I had no choice but to test and test. And that's where I believe is the more important conviction of, and then there's need that repentance. No, you knew, but you did choose. And so how do you grow from that? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I just saw like, I drew on my paper, but three circles, one being with a downward arrow, that being guilt, one with a forward arrow pushing you forward being conviction and can be positive, but one where we justify. And I think that's the third response, is that you can actually go backward when we justify it. I think that we can tell ourselves that it's really not that bad. You know, you get together with your friends and you're telling them that you struggled and they want to encourage you. They want to support you. So they're like, you know what, whatever the situation may be, like, well, they really deserved it. Or, well, it wasn't your fault. You were trying your best and they're just trying to make you feel better. But actually what it can do is it can justify it.
Yeah.
It can make it be like, oh, well, you know, I had reasons. Therefore, I don't have to feel bad. Therefore, the guilt is gone, but I'm actually moving backwards. Does that make sense? I feel like there's actually three responses that failure can provoke. One is healthy and the other two are really not healthy. And they're not very helpful because they're not ultimately pushing us forward where we want to be. And we all have places we want to be. We want to be a certain homeschool mom. We want to be a certain homeschool dad. We want to be a certain way in our marriages. We have this picture of our family and there's a goal that we're walking toward and we want to be victorious. In order for that to happen, we need to be using our failures and allowing them to be things that are propelling us forward rather than letting them be things that are holding us hostage in prisoner or pushing us back and actually taking us farther from our goal.
It's important to model that, like some of the things of conviction versus condemnation. The three aspects of things to be very careful of is shame, guilt, condemnation. Those are things that are not really going to help you on your way towards achieving a better pathway, a better repentance. You want to get back on the road towards a sanctification, towards your relationship, towards Jesus Christ. Yes, failure. The first part is to recognize that you are in, there was some lines that were crossed. It's like in the Bible says, for some, this wasn't a line. But if you knew that, yeah, you had a choice, but you chose the way that really is unbecoming for you, then that's the conviction part. The condemnation, shame, and guilt are really just the enemy. It's like taking the enemy, what the epistles describe, that it's sin. It's like that evil takes advantage of that. It's like, ha, 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 you did fail. You're nothing. You're a loser. Always have been. This is a result. And you just feel low, where you feel defeated and deflated. And that's a very damaging place to be, because it's not on the way to feeling healed. By accepting responsibility for your actions, that's the one thing. Like, take ownership, taking ownership of, even if it's somebody else, you know what, there are some things that I did to gaslight that and to trigger that. By owning some of this, I think it's a good thing, because, hey, yeah, my kid, it got out of hand and I got out of hand. And you know what? I need to take ownership. How do we get on the path to a solution together, to forge the future together?
I think bringing it back to the homeschool thing, it's just simple. Let's give ourselves a light example, just so that we can look towards it, not look to ourselves. This is a strategy you can use with your children when you're teaching. Instead of looking at our own examples, which might feel a little bit too heavy or personal, we can look to other examples and learn from those. I did really great teaching my older children to tie their shoes. I taught my kids when they were supposed to learn it. I made sure we went to the store. We made a big deal out of it. We bought shoes with shoelaces and we taught them how to tie them, and they had the opportunity to tie them. By the time I got to my last kid, I was like, we are using Velcro. We are using slip-on. We are using whatever's easy and fast, because even when you do know how to tie your shoes, you don't, and you're just going to step into them and ruin the back. So I decided, no, I'm not really going to do that. And so what happens, and this is something we joke about in the homeschool world or even parenting world, is that all of a sudden you can realize, oh my goodness, my child doesn't know how to tie their shoes. We never actually had that discussion. And things like that can sneak in. And so especially in a homeschool world, sometimes the things that we feel, these pressure points of failure, are things that we did drop the ball. So it might not be something that, when we say you crossed a line, that may not feel like that applies so much to your situation. Mm-hmm. But in the homeschooling, you could even think of it as, I didn't do something I know I should have. And at the end of the day, sometimes it's just pure laziness. Sometimes it is, I'm so tired. By the time evening comes around and we've eaten dinner, I don't want to clean my kitchen. I don't want to have discussions with my kids. I don't want to have family reading hour and invest in my child's reading. I'm just trying to survive. I'm going to go watch a show. I'm just going to rest because I feel like I need it to stay sane. Sometimes whole seasons of our life can go by. And then we look back and think, I should have been more intentional. So when we're talking about homeschool failures, they can look a little different. Ultimately, there's a part that we have to play. The question is, what are we going to do with them? That brings us to identifying, like I tell my kids, you have a thought pop into your head and you ask yourself, is it true? Is this a true thing? I pray about that. I ask the Lord, I feel attacked right now, or I feel discouraged, or I feel low, or I'm taking this really personally. So I'm going to ask myself, God, is this true? You know, my kid's struggling. They feel like you don't spend enough time with me, or you haven't taught me this, or I'm struggling in this area, or I just don't have any friends because we don't go anywhere. Whatever it may be, is there an element of truth to this? And you ask the Lord. And if he says, yeah, there's an element of truth to it, then it's very simple. It's like, you know what? I need to work on this area, or we are going to do something to help fix this. Instead of taking it personally and internalizing it, you use it as that thing that allows you to push forward and find creative solutions for you. I never know when you're like waiting to say something. I don't want to talk you off.
Oh, I was just thinking of today. Our son had fallen from this. We have the Connex can, you know, and we allow the kids to climb up there, and you know, they love making big noises on this big metal can. Sure enough, the inevitable happened. You know, one of our son, he was climbing down and he lost his gripping and he fell, and he's now nursing a bruised wrist. And I thought about it, should I have said something? Now we made a rule, no more climbing on that thing. And I just thinking, is this a failure? Is this, you know, like, I felt bad. I felt like for months and months and months, I've seen them jumping around, and I know it's high up. It's like 9 feet up there, right? And there's no guardrails, nothing. Do I take ownership of that? Or do I waste my time and like, you know, I felt lazy and I didn't feel like they were, you know, going forward, I want to take ownership of the fact that no one should really go on there because somebody else could get really hurt. Luckily, somebody didn't break any bones, hopefully. Jury's still out. But thank God nothing worse happened, and he took a really bad fall. I think our perspective is very important when we're faced with some sort of problem, a crisis, is what is my ownership of this and what can I do to make this better? Instead, that's the shame, guilt, and condemnation thing. You're in this stagnation thing, but you're not really making progress moving forward. We want to move forward. My family is in crisis mode. How do I move forward? Not just carrying the burdens of who did what to whom and getting bogged down. It's important to recognize what is causing some of these problems, but also how do we move forward and not spend so much time on the blame game?
I think reading some of your comments, I think that asking yourself and again, identifying, is there truth to this? Is the first question to ask. What kind of feeling are you feeling? Sometimes it's easy to say shame, guilt, condemnation. That doesn't come from God. The Bible says that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So we know that there's truth to that. I think sometimes we can use that as this, I should never feel bad. I should never feel, well, sometimes we know we made a mistake. We feel that sinking feeling. And again, shame, guilt, and condemnation is something that's pushing you down and you stay cycled in, as opposed to, all right, I made a mistake. And it's something that's pushing you forward. So you can actually defend yourself against shame, guilt, and condemnation by the way that you respond to it. So it's asking yourself first if there's any truth to it. Sometimes things come from within us, right? So all the time. After I speak, every single time after I speak, when I'm writing, when I'm doing things, the enemy often comes, or even myself, my own insecurities, and I get flooded with, who are you to be speaking? Who are you to be writing? Who are you to be telling? No one wants to hear that. You know, you're to this, you're to that. I mean, it's just the ailment of doubt, just feeling like I'm not enough. So it's asking yourself, yes, is it true? Where is it coming from? Is this something coming from within me? Is this something that I feel is coming from the Lord, not in shame, guilt, and condemnation, but where he's putting his finger on something and saying, this is an area that do better. You could grow in this area. Is it something that is coming from outside? Is this an attack of the enemy? One person was saying in the comments, is this coming from other people? We often feel like failure. We can be told that we're failing. People can come at us and say, you're failing in this area. One thing that was spoken over me was that because I'm a career person, but I've always been very driven, I've always had something going on the side, I've definitely been told a lot that I'm doing too much, that I am too much, that I should just settle, that I should be content. I've been told that my first priority is to my family and anything I'm doing outside of that is a mistake. I'm called to be a mother and nothing else. I should be a mother and a wife. These are outside influences seeing me and telling me that I am a failure because my life doesn't look the way theirs does. My kids don't look the way theirs do. Our house doesn't run the way theirs run. Our marriage isn't the same as other people's marriage. Definitely my definition of success in education is very different from 90% of people I meet. They would all judge me if they knew how I felt about education because I don't measure it by grades and tests and how much information my kids have memorized. I measure it by their heart, character, relationship with the Lord, ability to think for themselves, by their ability to articulate, by their ability to find information, dig for information, run after things. I just see success as more than just information. I have the choice of either owning those things or asking myself, is there truth to this? Is there something that the Lord is putting his finger on? If not, then those things might not be mine to carry at all. Yeah. You might be feeling like a failure and those things that you're carrying aren't yours. They don't define you in that those are not things that God has said, this is unacceptable or this is the thing I want you to work on.
Yeah, I was going to flip it around, but I think you already went into that. Whereas like sometimes just me, like I am not aware that I'm doing something wrong until somebody says, look at the standard, you're not meeting this. And I'm just like, oh, really? You know, not knowing me, sometimes I'm totally oblivious, but I'm not prepared to always accept somebody else's evaluation. Those three types of things. I think it's very important to say, I don't know if I would agree, I'm sorry, especially when you were facing with other homeschoolers. Well, I think you should do this. Well, I think you should. This is the future. This is not the future. My fallback is like, oh, that may be for you, but maybe I'm still evaluating whether that's the same standard that I want my children to experience and that type of learning. Maybe they don't want to learn Greek or Latin. Sometimes it's this imposing stuff from others. If somebody's imposing their standards where I'm like, interesting, not my cup of tea, but, you know, I'm not going to. We faced a lot of that as homeschoolers. They all look at the standard. And I'm like, well, you know. It's important to be confident that what you're doing is good. I think my intention is to educate, but in a way that is much deeper and meaningful. And at the same time, bringing our family together. Because I know the truth about some school systems and that we're failing our children and they are failing. And I've taken responsibility as a parent. I've been entrusted with this and I'm taking it seriously. So I'm trying my very best. I am fully aware of what they're learning. I think that there's a time when what am I getting at?
Encourage yourself in the Lord.
Yeah.
David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's not giving yourself permission to stay where you are, but that is telling yourself that, yeah, let me tell you, the fact there's some of you that are talking about, you know, I haven't done school or I've been struggling with whatever it may be. And you feel really low and you feel absolutely stuck and you're just trapped in guilt or shame or any of those things. I think that there's this point where we don't want to necessarily give ourselves permission because of course we see where we want to go. But the fact that you've pulled your kids out of the system, the fact that you've chosen to do this, listen, the fact that you're feeling guilt or shame or frustration or even grief over the fact that your homeschool is not where you want it to be or that you haven't been the way you wish you could have been. Be honest about it. That's how you're feeling. But let me tell you, the school system is not going to feel that way about your kid. They're going to make all sorts of mistakes and they're not going to lose any sleep over it. So the fact that you're losing sleep over it, the fact that you care, that in and of itself is a step. I think that there is a point of encouraging ourselves in the Lord, not to give ourselves permission, but to remind ourselves why we're doing this, to remind ourselves that this is important, to remind ourselves of whose voice we're ultimately listening to. Yes, you need to be honest about where you're at. No, you don't want to stay there, but you're not going to be able to change and just be this vision in our heads that we have that is often unrealistic or based on somebody else's life. That change is not going to happen quickly, overnight, maybe not going to happen at all, especially if we're comparing it with something that is totally unrelated to us, our call, our family, or our dynamics. So we have to identify what our goal is, what God is asking of us, what He has for our family, maybe adjusting our expectations, because maybe you feel like a failure because you're holding up your definition of success next to something that God never called you to. And yet God's like, why are you constantly measuring yourself and running this direction, constantly going in this cycle of trying? You read the blogs, you watch the videos, and you try harder and you strive and you're running after this direction. But I called you over here. Your family is different. Your kids are different. Your dynamics are different. And you're preparing them for something very specific. God did not place your kids in your home by accident. He intentionally gave you your children and you know them and He knows you. And so there's so much hope in trusting in Him, in including Him in that process and asking Him, God, am I heading the right direction? What is success? Because how can I judge my failures if I'm running after the wrong success as that measuring stick?
If you can do anything at all, teach your children that we're all in a fight. We're all in a fight to keep our family together, to raise them up in the way they should go, to raise them up in the ways of the Lord, to model a love for Jesus Christ and to disciple them. And it's going to be a fight. We knew this from the very beginning. Knowing that you're going to die trying your very best, the commitment and the dedication in your obedience, that we take this very seriously. Your kids seeing that, they're going to see, you know, they're burnt out. There's seasons of illnesses and the seasons of kind of like, okay, I need a time out here. Just go find something to do, because they're going to see that you're not superheroes all the time. They're going to see that people get tired and kids are resilient. But what they can see and they can grow up to know, my parents were dedicated to the very end. Staying together, becoming a family, becoming something so extraordinary. They didn't just hand me off to a governmental system or something like that. They did what they can in managing a marriage, managing finances, and managing a household, dedicated to providing me the best education. Best is a very personal thing. Health is a personal choice. What you're teaching them is a very personal. It's not some franchised thing. It's something that should be tailored and modified. And how you receive it and how you dish it out, it's a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing. And we're living in an age where homeschooling is bringing that love of learning and away from the drill and kill. And it's creating more geniuses and people who are going to change this world because of extraordinary parenting like this.
I am seeing in the comments, I just want to take a second and say, listen, I have been told that I have no right to speak or write or say anything about a subject unless I've gone through it, come out on the other side, and there's evidence in my life. So an example would be, who am I to speak about parenting? Because my kids aren't grown and gone. And so only if they all turn out perfect and on the other side, when I'm 78, should I be able to talk about parenting? Because at that point, now I can say I did it all right. Well, first of all, how pompous to imagine that my kids, where they are and where God is going to take them, is all reliant on me and because of what I did. I all the time look at my children and think they are where they are despite us. It is amazing to me sometimes when I look at things that I see in my children that I know is just them and the Lord, and it's just God's grace and their own unique relationship with Him. That wasn't me. So anyways, I feel like there are seasons in my own life where my kids have, like I said, felt like I failed them, where we've done unschooling. We have fully done unschooling, where I have been so busy that I have not been able to give the time and attention that I want, that I desire. And there's just been seasons like that. There are seasons of sickness. There's seasons of pregnancy. There's seasons that are just really, really difficult. There's seasons of financial hardship. And I think identifying the fact that it is a season is important, identifying the fact that it doesn't last forever. Through some of these times when we have not done as much school and we've had more discussion and we've had more real life application, I've seen so much growth in my kids. I've seen so much growth in their relationship with the Lord. I have seen so much fruit in their life. And I think sometimes that comes down to our mindset being so limited. We get stuck in thinking that there's this success metric out there that is all about information and grades and how well they test, but there's so much more to our children than that. If you look at my life and you want me to wait till I'm 78 and my kids are grown and their lives are perfectly successful and they have amazing marriages and amazing children, their education is not going to play a huge role in that. It's not going to be how well I taught them about ancient Greece. The world is going to measure my children based on if they are good character, if they aren't selfish, if they can work hard, if they've got good marriages and children that they're raising in the ways of the Lord. Those are the things that they're going to see. And they're going to say, wow, I can see in your life that there's fruit. I can see in your life that your children are following the Lord and that they love Him. That actually has very little to do with how well they can print their copy work that I have them do. So I think that measurement thing is important and identifying that there are seasons. That being said, let's just go back to, let's say there are things in your life right now and you're identifying them and you're like, my kid doesn't know how to read. Yeah, I've been in a season. I want to get out of this. I feel ready for the next step. I feel ready to move forward. So how do I do that? It's baby steps. It's asking the Lord, God, what is one thing I could do today? If you have the expectation on yourself that you're going to do it all, then we get caught in striving and set ourselves up for failure because we have this huge expectation on ourselves that we can't possibly maintain. I am super honest with myself. I have a plan and I know I'm never going to do it. And so I call it my impossibility plan. It just makes me feel good to write it down. But my expectation is not that I'm going to fulfill it. My expectation is just to get it out on paper. We have to be realistic with ourselves about what is what we can do. And it's often I'll ask the Lord, what is one small thing? What's something that's important today? It might be a conversation. It might be spending time with your child and just reading with them one-on-one. It might be going to Starbucks and getting out of the, you've got to learn, we've got to do this, we got to fix this problem, and just breaking that tension and saying, we're going to go to Starbucks, we're going to have a coffee, and we're going to read there. We're going to have some fun around this because we're so busy knocking our heads against the wall trying to fix the problem. And maybe it's supposed to be just fun. Maybe your breakthrough is going to be in fun. I want to talk.
You've hitched on one thing, a practical failure that I see on and on is the usage of time. I see way too many families, homeschooling and non-homeschooling, busy, busy, busy. They are the busiest people in this world. I am baffled how people can run around, half their life is in a vehicle, church functions 5 days a week. You got women's ministry, children's ministry, praying,
Bible study,
youth groups, pizza nights, conferences, and then you have volunteers. I mean, that's just the ministry side alone. And then you got extracurricular activities. And then you got to have a career, some sort of livelihood, trying to teach them a skill, and then lump in education. I've seen it once and once again, and I'm baffled. And I go, I'm sorry. Mm-mm. It says in the Bible to be very careful with your time, for the days are evil. And if you're running amok and you're like 110% every day, what happens when you get an x-ray back from the medical and you have something very, very serious? What happens when you have something suddenly rock your world? Now, all these spinning plates come crashing down. I'm not saying in itself every single ones are bad. I mean, it's ministry, it's church, whatever. But if you're busying yourself so much, you don't have time to sit down and spend quality time without somebody facilitating, where you're just praying together, where you just have walks in the woods, something quiet, so not as busy. We busy ourselves too much. And that to me is a failure, is becoming too busy to see that if our kid is depressed, to see that they're involved into something. I've noticed something. I noticed that my kid is not, you know, the subtleties of depression. I noticed that they weren't, it takes time, not just right. It takes a very good connection. I noticed they didn't say goodnight when they went to bed. There's something going on. I need to take the time and talk with them and listen to them. We try to cram more. And I do not think that is the way.
We're trying to accomplish everything that we feel like we need to do because of our definition of success. We feel like our kids need to be socialized. Often it comes from external pressures. It might even come from your kids. Your kids might be coming at you and saying, I want to do this. I want to do that. And we often say no to our children. Yeah. It's hard to say no to my kids when I feel like I want them to find joy. I want them to have their needs met, friends. I want them to have relationships. But at the same time, I see how A, you can't cultivate relationship when you're so busy running to and fro from everything. And B, I feel like the value of just our family being able to, like Jonathan said, take the time. To me, the most important thing is that connection, those conversations about the Lord when they're wrestling with their faith and they've got questions and we sit down and we talk. It's dealing with that bad attitude and getting a handle on things in your home, shifting your perspective and saying, we are going to bless our home today and we're going to clean and do it because we love this place. It's having family meetings and watching The Chosen together, whatever it may be. That connection is so valuable. It's so valuable.
It's so, and that takes time. If you want to know what to make disciples, such a special thing about those 12 disciples, it was the time they had with Jesus. Mm-hmm. They slept with him. They ate with him. They heard his teachings and they saw his miracles. But they imagine that, you know, it was Mary and Martha, and Martha was working and the other one was just listening at Jesus' feet. And he was like, you know what? I'm not going to be with you. This is a special moment. Take this moment. If we don't take the time, we will not have the time. Time is a precious commodity. You have less and less of every single day with your children. I know with our kids, and like three of them got their driver's license. It will not be long. And we're holding back. What do you call it? No, you can't go over there. Even this happening now. And you as parents, you have a certain amount of time. It is quantifiable. And, you know, in public school, that's already taking so many hours. And then the church and ministry and all these other stuff, less and less. You have, and that's in these special moments that you have these certain milestones of moments where you can deal with something so incredible. Don't miss it. Steward your time with your kids wisely. And that doesn't mean just cultivating multiple avenues. They're not a business. Steward your time wisely with them. It's being unwise with your time.
That's conviction. We're all feeling it. And then you start to feel like panicky and you're running out of time and your kids are going to leave and something could happen at any moment. That's wisdom to heed that and to remember that. That's all through scripture. Remember this, that God is a redeeming God, that he is above time, that he is greater than time, and that God can still redeem in a moment. I've watched him redeem in a moment. Mm-hmm. And so if you're feeling like there's not enough time to fix, there's not enough time to restore, there's not enough time to heal, there's not enough time to move forward, there's always time in the fact that God is above it and he can do anything. Pray to the author of time himself and ask him to do a work. Ask him to move in the lives of your children. Ask him to show you what things you need to let go of. Ask him to show you if your definition of success and the goal that you're walking towards needs to be adjusted. Ask him what of the failure that you're feeling could be conviction from him and what things are from the enemy or from other people and they're just there to distract you. Ask him, include him in the process. That is the key. That is it. And if you can do that and not let yourself get just bogged down, not let yourself listen to all the other voices. Just another practical tip. Sometimes for me, I need motivation and my motivation might come from like, I'm going to watch reels or I'm going to waste my life because I'm just at that, I hit a wall. Okay. I'll go to Starbucks. I'll get out of my home. I'll put on clothes and I'll tell my kids, come with me. Let's go. And we'll have a little work time there. And so finding motivation, whatever that looks like for you, it might mean other people. It might mean finding people like you. We've been doing a co-op. We've been getting together with other families and doing school for the first time, maybe in our lives since the very beginning. When I started this whole thing, we've been super consistent with school and it's been good. It's been good for this season. And so maybe you need to find other like-minded people. Be cautious in that you also have to be obedient to what the Lord is asking of you, but just encouragement. I know we've been close to an hour here, so I actually want to wrap it up. Yeah. Well, we started a little late, so we're close to an hour, 50 minutes. Yeah. It goes fast. I know. But I want to end on this point, and that is shifting our mindsets. Even if we know that there are failures, even if we know that we've made mistakes, even if we know that there's been some things along the way that we really want to work on and we want to be intentional about, adjusting our expectations, but also just looking at those things as being good. And this is like, you know, I was going to recommend that video that you just recommended.
Dr. Willink.
We can find it and post the link here, but there is a video. It's called Good. And to sum it all up, it's about having that mindset of seeing your failures, seeing your mistakes, seeing even the crises and the bad things and all the things, and having the perspective of saying good and finding the good, because God can use all things. He can use all things in your life. He can use all things in your kids. Listen, my kids have had to walk through some really hard things. They have been torn away from all their family and friends. We've moved to a new country. That's a hard thing, especially when you're a teenager and you're starting over and you don't have all those established relationships. And yet, as much as it's hard, I see the fact that it's good. I believe that the Lord is, I can't fix it. I can't provide them friends in a box, but I believe that the Lord will use even the hard things in their lives for his glory. The things that they walk through, it's going to strengthen them. It's going to help them to grow. Even seeing my failures, my reaction to it, maybe my humility, maybe me coming and saying sorry to my kids can be redeemed. My kids are seeing the failure, but they're actually seeing the redemption from that failure. And I feel like there's so much value. Everything is an opportunity. Everything can be used for good. When we can shift our perspective, that is how we use our failures to propel us forward, because we start to see them as that instigator for momentum.
You'll learn more from your failures than from your victories. You remember some of the hurts and the scars. You know, I can remember more of my scars here because they hurt and I don't want them again. And I'll remember them and the lessons, hopefully, yes, the lessons that came with them. Failures is just a matter of perspective. That's what the whole good is. If you can just see a perspective of an opportunity or how they can turn around, how God can turn around, it's like we can use this as a launch pad to move forward and forge the future with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You can either see it as a failure and a shame, or you can say from here, it's going to get better because now I know it'll be a stepping stone for something better. And that's why I believe you're going to have to marry that up with yourself. You know, David came to himself in the lowest depths. He encouraged himself in the Lord and, you know, some of the dark places. And it was a step towards victory, towards him.
I remember that story of David and his first son with Bathsheba. He had failed and there was a consequence to be paid. And he knew that he had sinned. He knew he had made a mistake and he was told about what would happen. But still, he prayed, he fasted, he grieved, he was begging the Lord. Maybe the Lord will change his mind till the very last moment. He wouldn't eat, he wouldn't shower, he wouldn't change, he wouldn't do anything. People were worried about him because he was. You know, you might look at that and be like, that is the depths of despair. He's never coming out of that. But as soon as his child died, it says that he came to himself, that he woke up, that he ate food, that he showered, that he got dressed, he bathed, he washed himself, knew, okay, there's nothing that I can do now, nothing that I can do to change what has already happened. What I'm going to do is I'm going to change what happens going forward. I'm going to use this as an opportunity. And I feel like, yeah, our perspective is so incredibly important. So
I just think of that story. Worship him. Just worship him. Worship God in the most lowest things where it seems so crazy. Worship him. Praise him. Watch the devil just watch in confusion. It's like, what are they worshiping? I know they got all this stuff going on. And if you just worship him and praise him, he's good. I'm getting battered here, but I'm going to still praise him. If I'm getting sick and I'm getting pounded, you know, with my health, and I'm going to worship him because no matter what happens, he is still good. He is still great. He is still worthy. He is seated on the throne. This is my Jesus. This is going to be my last day or my last year. You know what? It's going to be praising the name of the Lord. I remember when I was sick, you know, I thought like, I don't know what's going to happen. I was in the hospital and I go, I don't know what the devil's doing to me, but let it be my last word. I had pneumonia. I was just like, I will praise the Lord because he is good, devil. You know what? You think you can get some bitterness out of me? No, my last words will be my lips. My last words will be praise, hallelujah, Jesus, your Lord and King, and you're my Savior. Amen.
God, we thank you for each person that is here or has listened. I pray that your word would go forth. God, I pray that your word would be encouragement, that it would be light to our path and to our feet, Father, that we would walk forward in hope. I speak hope over us. I speak hope over our future. I speak that there's expectation to be had for what you are going to do, that you are moving in the lives of our family, that you are moving in the lives of our children, Father. I pray for fresh perspective and a new mindset, God, that we would have the eyes of Christ, that we would see as you see, Father. And I pray that even in our mistakes, even in our failures, that we would redeem those, that we would turn those for your glory and for your good, that we would use those to propel us forward. I pray blessing over every homeschool represented here, over every family and marriage represented here. God, would you just bless us? Would we feel your presence today? Your comforting presence, and would you give us the courage and boldness to rise up and walk the path that you've called us to, because it's different for each and every one of us. And so I just pray that we would have courage and boldness, and that we would tune our ears to you, Father, to be able to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What is one thing you would have me do today? In your name, amen. All right, guys, have an amazing rest of your day. Until next week, we will be posting. We're going to send out a newsletter on Sunday and let you know what the topic will be for Tuesday. But stay tuned. We'll be live again next week. All right, I have to end these. Bye.